Welcome to the Razors Inc. podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. Over the last several podcasts, Jonathan has offered up his ideas for fixing primetime on network TV, serial dramas, rejuvenating late night, and bringing back the movie of the week. But there's one more genre that could fix not only network TV, but maybe even help a nation. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, part four of Dr. Jonathan's prescription for network TV. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
My love affair with network television goes back to the 60s. I marveled at groundbreaking entertainment up through the 70s, but in the 80s and beyond, cable streaming and online entertainment won my attention away from network entertainment programming. Television network ratings are in a free fall due to competition from streaming services and alternative online media. I contend the networks continue to lose viewers because of a lack of original entertainment programming. But if they return to previously successful entertainment vehicles network television invented, they will be successful in winning back viewers. This podcast is my series of suggestions to help resurrect network television entertainment programming. See my podcast, My RX for Network Television, where I recommend moving the soaps from daytime to weeknights, repackaged in the form of novellas. And my podcast, Movie of the Week, where I recommend returning to original movies made for television. The subject of this podcast is my recommendation to network television to bring back the weekly variety show, and I'll discuss four successful network variety shows from the past. I'm not referring to reality talent show programming you find on the networks, which I contend is stale. Tried and true variety show programming creates brand loyalty with viewers returning every week at the same time to watch. Variety shows create jobs in front of and behind the camera, opportunities for new talent to showcase themselves, and gave the nation the opportunity to come together, enjoy original programming, and have something to talk about the next day around the proverbial water cooler. Variety shows were good for network television revenue and for the nation. I'll discuss The Ed Sullivan Show, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, and The Carol Burnett Show. Each of these shows were highly popular during times of political tumult, when it was necessary to have a common theme to rally the nation together. More later. The Ed Sullivan Show on CBS. Ed Sullivan was a suited-up, square guy resembling your dad or grandfather. His intro to the show was famous.
Really big show tonight.
If you got a break on The Sullivan Show, your career was launched, so he was a kingmaker. If you crossed Ed, you'd never appear on a show again. There are legendary stories about Ed's feuds with The Doors, Bo Diddley, and others. Ed's show was a true variety show, spotlighting jugglers, acrobats, ventriloquists, comedians, opera singers, puppets. Jim Henson performed with his Muppet characters on the show for 25 appearances. What Ed did best was showcase musicians.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are four of the nicest youngsters we've ever had on our stage. The Beatles, bring them on.
Ed Sullivan Show was made for the baby boomer generation, showcasing breakthrough performances by popular groups from the 50s and 60s. He introduced Elvis and the Beatles to network television. He booked the Beach Boys, the Jackson 5, Buddy Holly, Janis Joplin, the Rolling Stones, the Mamas and the Papas, the Doors, Barbara Streisand, to name a few. Ed was an advocate of black performers during a period of history when black performers were overlooked by television. The show included The Supremes, Louis Armstrong, Pearl Bailey, Harry Belafonte, James Brown, Bo Diddley, Duke Ellington, The Fifth Dimension.
The world's a nicer place than my beautiful room. The world's a nicer place than my beautiful room. And sing
Ella Fitzgerald, The Four Tops, Dick Gregory, B.B. King, Gladys Knight and the Pips. Johnny Mathis, Richard Pryor, Lou Rawls, Sly and the Family Stone, The Temptations, Ike and Tina Turner, Dionne Warwick, Flip Wilson, and Stevie Wonder, to name a few. Ed Sullivan attracted an older audience, which most sponsors found undesirable as the seasons went on. Ed Sullivan aged out. The younger television viewing audience tuned into another variety show, appealing to their tastes. CBS canceled The Ed Sullivan Show in 1971. I want you to ponder the cadre of talent Ed Sullivan gave breaks to, and imagine show business without the likes of Ed Sullivan Show. Show business is busting with unknown talent, which could use another network variety show to catapult their careers. Why not give them their big break on network television?
Well, how I wish I was in Peoria. Peoria tonight. Day. Oh, how I miss those girls in Peoria.
Wait a minute, honey. I know you're nervous, everything, but you gotta get the words right.
I'm not nervous, I just...
You're nervous. I know you're nervous.
Now, I'm not nervous.
Well, admit it. You're nervous.
I'm not nervous.
You mean you're not... not even a little bit?
I'm not nervous at all. Threw up a little while ago, but...
Well, I knew it.
At all.
I knew he was nervous because the first moment I saw you this morning, you looked upset to me. But it's understandable, you know. This is the, you know, first show, big comedy show for us, and, you know, I'm a little bit nervous myself.
Huh.
Really?
Why don't you throw up? You'll feel a lot better.
The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was a comedy and variety show hosted by the Smothers Brothers, airing on CBS from 1967 to 69. Tom Smothers played guitar and Dick Smothers played bass, as both delivered zingers on a range of topics. They were known for a trademark sibling rivalry bit and the accompanied one-liner.
Mom liked you best.
No, all right.
Mom.
All right. Just be quiet 1 minute.
Mom liked you best.
You lower your voice.
Mom liked you best.
Dick played the straight man and Tommy the comedic foil in the duo. When I go back and watch these episodes on YouTube, the duo presents themselves like clean-cut fraternity brothers at a sorority mixer. This pleased CBS, but except for a double-breasted blazer or paisley tie, you wouldn't expect the show's comedy to be cutting edge. The success of the show for CBS was that the brothers were young guys and relatable with the young demographic of the viewers.
I'll tell you something really scary. I dreamed I had a nightmare last night, and it was
scary. Well, that's really scary. That's a scary. You dreamed you had a nightmare?
I dreamed I had a nightmare last night. I dreamed that there was all these men walking around, this pale skin and these bulging eyes and scaly skin like zombies. And they kept moving around. And they started moving.
Who was it?
The Congress. And then the Congress turned into the Senate. And the Senate started standing up. I thought they were gonna do something. I got so scared. I started running in my dreams. I was frightened. Because they were gonna do something. Then I ran to a cabinet to hide.
You're hiding in the cabinet. Did you get it?
To hide. And I went, it was a real cabinet. And I swung open the cabinet. And up jumped this horrible thing. And a voice like that said, "You know what I am."
What was it?
It was a national deficit.
The comedy writing was edgy and progressive political satire, appealing to young viewers, which got the program into trouble with the network, who insisted upon editorial control. The series showcased new musical artists that other comedy variety shows rarely gave airtime to, due to the nature of their music or their political affiliations. George Harrison, Joan Baez, Buffalo Springfield, Cass Elliot, Harry Belafonte, Cream, The Who.
And you must be Roger.
I must be.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You're Roger?
I'm Roger.
And where are you from?
Oz.
Roger. Here's Roger from Oz. And over here, the guy plays the sloppy drums. Follow the yellow brick road. What's your name?
Keith.
Keith?
My friends call me Keith. You can call me John.
Okay, John. I just soon call you Roger. Roger from Oz. What's the next song you're going to do?
My Generation.
Your Generation?
Yeah.
Well, I can really identify with that because I really identify with these guys. I dig them. And this is a... you got sloppy stage hands around there.
Okay, that's enough!
They're going to sing My Generation. This song really goes, and you're going to be surprised what happens because this is excitement, and hit it. My Generation.
Donovan, The Doors, Jefferson Airplane, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Steppenwolf, Simon and Garfunkel, Ray Charles.
I can't stop loving you. I've made up my mind to live in
Pete Seeger and Ike and Tina Turner. All were showcased despite the advertiser-sensitive nature of their music. The Smothers Brothers soon found themselves in regular conflicts with CBS network censors, and the show was canceled in 1969. Controversy, political satire humor, is welcome today and will sell outside the worn-out talk show format of late-night television. Imagine two brothers, two sisters, or a brother and sister as hosts of a cool, edgy variety program today.
What you are about to see is true. Only the names and faces have been left unchanged to protect the innocent.
That is the most beautiful thing I ever heard.
From their beautiful studios in downtown Burbank, NBC presents Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In was a sketch comedy television program that ran for six seasons from 68 to 73 on NBC. The show was hosted by comedians Dan Rowan and Dick Martin, becoming the most popular television show in the United States. To me, Dan and Dick resembled two middle-aged divorced guys who shared a bachelor pad down at the marina and chased young chicks. My take. Dan Rowan played the straight man to Dick Martin. The title of the show was a play on the 1960s hippie culture, love-ins or sit-ins, which were protests of the time. Dan Rowan explained the show's approach.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to television's first Laugh-In. Now, for the past few years, we've all been hearing an awful lot about the various inns.
I've been reading a lot about it in magazines and newspapers and periodicals.
Yeah. Now, there have been be-ins and love-ins and sleep-ins.
Drive-ins.
No, that's not the kind of inn we're talking about.
Oh.
Now, this is a laugh-in.
Huh.
And a laugh-in is a frame of mind. For the next hour, we'd just like you to sit back and laugh and forget about the other inns.
Prophetic, Dan. We need you and this sensibility today. The show included rapid-fire gags and sketches, many politically charged or contained sexual innuendo. It was known for catchy slogans like...
Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me.
Sock it to yourself.
Sock it to me?
Generally followed by a pie in the face, a dousing of water, or a fall through a trap door, if I recall correctly.
You can testify, but you just can't win, because I'm here to tell you, you guilty as sin. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
Order the courts. The Right Honorable Samuel Davis, Jr. presiding. Do your thing.
Your Honor, I'm pleading innocent to this burglary rap.
Well, I think I got you because you forgot about one important visual defect in your case.
What's a visual defect?
Somebody saw you doing it.
Artie Johnson played a helmeted German soldier.
Very interesting.
The show featured Gary Owens as the on-screen radio announcer, which was a cool touch, and an ensemble cast including Ruth Buzzi, Judy Carn, Henry Gibson, Goldie Hawn, Artie Johnson, Joanne Worley, Alan Seuss, Lily Tomlin, Dennis Allen, and Richard Dawson. Ruth Buzzi had many of the most memorable skits, playing a prudish woman, for lack of a better term, wearing her hair in a bun under a net, frumpy sweater over a thrift store dress, and unstylish shoes, yielding a handbag like a mallet.
I just want to ask a question. Do you believe in the hereafter?
Of course I do.
Then you know what I'm here after.
She was the butt of jokes on the series. Ruth Buzzi was the straight woman to the sexy cast members Karn and Han, go-go dancing in bikinis, with the camera zooming into jokes or images painted on their bodies.
And while I'm calming what's-his-name down, folks, Mod Mod World's gonna take a look at Man and Woman.
You always hurt the one you love. Hi!
In the battle of the sexes, I spend most of my time behind enemy lines.
Say, did you know that Joan's husband, Fred, has been seeing Irene?
You mean Irving's wife, Irene? Well, look, I know for a fact that Irving has just started seeing Phyllis, George's wife.
Oh, well, that figures. You see, I saw Frank at the party with Margaret Turnbull, who used to go with Alice's husband, John.
The doctor?
Right.
Oh, why, he still has the thing going with the pharmacist's wife, Sally.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. If Fred is seeing Irene, and Irving is seeing Phyllis, and Frank is going with Margaret, and the doctor is going with Sally, do you know what that means?
Hmm.
That means we've been having affairs with our own husbands.
Are you kidding?
The skit was called Mod Mod World. Sex sells, folks. If it got by the censors back then, it would today. At the end of every show, Roan would turn to his co-host and say,
"Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick."
Yeah, I know you're laughing at this Dick bit. At least the men, anyway. Regular guest performers, to name a few, Jack Benny, Johnny Carson, Tony Curtis, Sammy Davis Jr., Phyllis Diller, Bob Hope, Tiny Tim, John Wayne, and Flip Wilson. Various aspects of the show are now recognized as being racist, sexist, or homophobic by current standards. Yeah, I get it. But maybe with some nip and tuck writing, it's time to laugh at ourselves again, including straight white men as butts of humor. My solution is to hire a diverse comedy writing team. Take a look at this series on YouTube because I believe it has the formula for today's audience and market share potential for the networks. Plug and play, so to speak.
From Television City in Hollywood, it's the Carol Burnett Show with Harvey Glunder.
The Carol Burnett Show was a variety sketch comedy television show that originally ran on CBS from 1967 to 1978. Carol Burnett played to middle America, offering up clean and genuinely funny writing.
I was at this freak show one time and I saw these Siamese elephants. They was joined at the end. They was joined at the end of their trunks like that. And this trainer make them stand up on their back feet like that, and they had their trunk stretched like that. Then this little monkey had come out. Walk out there and dance a merengue right out there. I kind of felt sorry for them. They couldn't go like the other elephants when they go. All they could do is just blow and go
north.
One it sneezes, the other's eyes get real big.
It starred Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, and Lyle Waggoner. Tim Conway became a regular cast member after Waggoner left the series. Each episode began with an unrehearsed question and answer segment with the audience where Burnett asked, "Let's turn up the lights," and then randomly picked audience members who raised their hands. Burnett often ad-libbed funny answers.
Could we have the lights up a little bit? Bump up the light. Oh, you're beautiful.
Yes.
Carol, you know, you're a beautiful person inside and out.
Well, thank you.
We love you. And the most natural, uninhibited, loving entertainer we have today.
Well, thank you very much. Right on. You all know my Aunt Louise.
Girl power on network television, folks. Carol ran the entire production and distribution. Guest stars, just too numerous to mention, everybody from A to Z. The series won 25 Primetime Emmy Awards. In 2007, it was included on the list of Time's 100 best TV shows of all time. In 2023, Variety ranked The Carol Burnett Show number 23 on its own list of the 100 greatest TV shows of all time. It was nominated for 70 Emmys and won 25 times. The show also became known for its closing theme song.
I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song.
At the close of each episode, Burnett tugged her ear, a silent message meant for her grandmother. Burnett decided to end the series with a two-hour finale in 1978.
On behalf of all of us, I want to thank you here tonight and all of you who have been watching us for making these years possible. You brought us together, and we're all so very grateful. I love you. Pete? This time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
That's how talent ends a show, folks. Knowing when it's over and ending on your terms. Carol Burnett received Kennedy Center honors in 2003 and was awarded the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor in 2013. Carol Burnett appealed to middle America, and in my opinion, women appreciated watching a variety show produced by and starring a woman. Considering the ascendance and purchasing power of women today, the networks would benefit from this formula. Certainly, there's no lack of great female hosts available. I love you, network television. I suggest you combine the best elements of all four variety shows we discussed into a new variety show, with diverse hosts, recurring cast members, while introducing new talent. There's a hungry audience for variety show programming. Appeal to every demographic through today's societal lens, and you will have a winner. You invented variety show programming, but took your eye off the ball and invested too heavily in low-cost 30-minute sitcom schlock. Like Alec Baldwin's character Blake says in Mammoth's Glengarry Glen Ross,
"The money's out there. You pick it up, it's yours. You don't, I got no sympathy for you."
Get busy before it's too late for you, beloved network television. Your competitor isn't cable or streaming. A 2025 Deloitte study shows that Gen Zers are choosing social and creator-driven content over big-budget entertainment, as consumers overall feel a price pinch over streaming, which you bought into to compete against your own network programming. Aside from revenue and market share, the nation needs the healing effects of a good weekly hour together of laughter and happiness. Variety shows give us the opportunity to laugh together and at each other in a kind way. And just like the tumultuous 60s and 70s, we need laughter today more than ever. Laughter is like a pressure release valve, and the pressure today is at dangerous levels. Who better than network television to provide the RX?
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together.
I see you next time. Please leave behind a soft footprint, and class is dismissed.
And it does work. Jonathan didn't even address the most obvious example of a successful variety show. A certain show on Saturday night has been on, same time every week, showcases new talent, and gives the nation a chance to come together. And then the show is all the water cooler talk on Monday for 50 years running? Not too shabby. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. Also, look for two of Jonathan's short stories, Sails Made of Cash and Raging Rails and Campfire Tales, in Letters from the End of the World, a 2025 poetry and prose collection from Scars Publications. Get more info at scars.tv or drop an email to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com.